Deuteronomy chapter 21. God is giving really a view, in my opinion, of his heart here in this particular chapter. He is going into five different examples of keeping the law. And the one we want to look at this morning is concerning taking of a life. And we see here the sanctity of life. We see how precious the life is in his sight. And Lord, when we remember just that you created us in your image, Lord, we see how awesome that is. So created in the image of God, and how far this world has gotten from that. Valuing the life of a whale or a whatever, a kangaroo, frog, or rat, or whatever it is, more than human life. And putting penalties on destroying eagles' eggs, and yet aborting, what do we have aborted by now, 60, 70 million babies since Roe versus Wade in 1963. And so we have blood on our hands. And indeed, even we see really early on in Genesis chapter 4 how God responded to Cain for taking Abel's life and for saying even the blood cries from the ground. And here we have an instance where as they're going into the promised land, they're given a procedure wherewith there is an unsolved murder that they don't just shrug their shoulders and forget about it. But he lays out a procedure here to follow. And it's a very interesting one in a sense. We read in verse 1 of chapter 21 that if any body, any dead body is found lying in a field, and it is not known who killed him, then here's this procedure. The elders and the judges from the cities around that area where the body is found shall be measured, and the closest city to that scene of where the body is found, they shall come out and they shall perform a number of things here. The elders shall look for an untilled field with a water stream running through it, and then they shall bring a heifer down to that valley where the water is, and they, in the New King James, says shall break its neck, a really more literal reading of that, they shall strike off its head. So if you want to think of its neck being broken, or you want to just think of its head being chopped off, you've got the same thing happening there. You're going to have, particularly with the head chopped off, you know, the blood come pouring out. And of course, the emphasis here is the blood would come into the water would basically flow down and purify that whole scene here, and the water would basically soak into the earth, and this is an untilled field, and the wouldn't be brought back up to the surface, so to speak, by tilling, it would seem, and I'm not quite sure why these procedures are there, but they would bring this heifer down to the valley with flowing water, neither plow nor sown, and they shall strike off the head there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to you, and they're there to bless in the name of the Lord. To bless by their word every controversy and every assault shall be settled. Now then all the elders of the city nearest there where that crime was committed shall wash their hands over the heifer whose head was broken off there in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Now, I think that's where maybe even the whole tradition of you and Pilate at the time of Jesus' trial would wash his hands of the matter, but it's a gross misinterpretation of the scripture here. They're washing their hands to atone for the sin and to atone for the people. And it's a sin that nobody saw, nobody knows about. It's not, forgive me for not being a part of this, the blood be on Israel's hands. So Pilate got it all wrong here in a sense, if this is where he got that from. But at any rate, they're saying, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Then what? Provide atonement. Provide, make amends, in other words, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. They're interceding for the nation, really, for this crime that's been committed, this murder that's happened. And then it says, an atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. And then so you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. So we have these procedures here, and this one really speaks to me of the sanctity of life, and that unsolved murders are not just to go unsolved, but there should be an atonement made for this. A life has been taken. And even though they don't know who it is, and they're reminded just how much of an abomination that murder is to the Lord, how important taking a life is. And I can just see, even as they're out there measuring off who's the closest city and all, you got all these elders running around. And can you just imagine how easy it would be for the real perpetrator of that crime to be found in such a setting as this, because people would ask questions and all, and, you know, what are they doing, and what about this? Oh, that's about that murder, and, oh, it's never been solved. So if it isn't solved, then it seems like God has a procedure here that's going to occur to the heifer, the same procedure which would occur to the guy or gal who did the murder, that their head, in effect, would be given, their life would be given in restitution for taking another man's life. And so there is that aspect of the elders, which really are the leadership of the cities, taking it upon themselves to, in effect, protect the land from violence. You also have judges there involved. You have the judges that are out there. And so here they are, in effect, passing the judgment of the law of God over this situation. And so you have the leaders and you have the judges, all in accordance with God's word. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Oh, that we had that today. So when you just see what the simplicity of God's plan here is, and then you compare it to where we are today, it is certainly a reason to pray, isn't it? We have no real concern over the sanctity of life anymore. In fact, just take life. Let man decide when somebody should live or somebody should die. And we don't want to bring children into the world, so we just abort them, even as during the time of the Bible, the Israelites were letting their unwanted children pass through the fire, and they were burning the fire, and God hated that. And so he hates that taking of life, and we see that here. And then we see the leadership involved, and we even see, in a sense, the church involved. It's not the church in those days, it was the priests. But they would come and they would pray. They would come and pray over this situation. So this is a big deal. This is just not, well, we never did solve that crime, let's just close the book and go on. No, there was an atonement made for it. And God's will was really being done here, as we see then, an atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. The bloodshed, the murder imputed to them. And we see again the blood. Now this is not really, the heifer is not really a sacrifice in a sense of atoning sin as the blood of Christ is. So this is a little bit different here. But still there is a life being given. There is a life of one being given in substitution of the other. So that's like the Lord, is it not, in terms of he gave his life so we would not have to give our lives. And the principle here of atoning for the sin and recognizing the sin and the taking of a life was a very important aspect for the Lord. So may we go to prayer this morning, and may we be praying for those things that the Lord puts on our heart. I think we want to pray for places like Israel and Gaza. We want to pray for like the Ukraine. We want to pray for Syria. I mean, there's so many places in the world where atrocities are going on that we can't even name them all. But we want to pray that the people come to the Lord. As I mentioned to you, having been in the Ukraine and Russia a little earlier this year, saw how the pastors were all worn down and wanting this controversy to be over, the fear of invasion to be over so they could get back to life as normal. But on the other hand, never have we seen so much unity among the churches. Never have we seen so much prayer among the churches. And you know, just in Kiev alone, we passed out over 50,000 Bibles there during that four-month period of that Stand for Freedom there, and able to deliver the gospel message to as many as 200,000 at a time who were packed in that square there. And so the Lord uses all of these kinds of things for his glory. So we don't want to just necessarily pray that the conflict be over. That's probably good to pray for peace. But we want to pray that the Lord will use these times of conflict and these times of crisis for people to cry out. Because when there's peace and safety and when there's prosperity, who needs the Lord then, right? I'm doing really well. I don't need the Lord. But when you're in a foxhole and the bombs are falling all around you, that's a time when a lot of things happen, don't they? So as we're led, let's pray for the church this morning, the church here around the world. We pray for the services, pray for Creation Fest. That's beginning today. In fact, what time is it there now? About 4 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon? So it's beginning this afternoon, so we've got about 70-plus of our people there for that right now. We can pray for that. And just whatever the Lord leads you in. Let's keep our prayers short as we're led by the Spirit. You can always tell, can you not, when somebody gets done being led by the Spirit and they go off on their own, and the strength just, you know. So if you want to pray for your cat, you want to pray for your dog, that's fine. But why don't you wait till we're done with the session in here, and you can pray as long as you want. And let's be led by the Spirit, okay? Father, thank you for your word here, and we see how important every life is to you and how you love the life of your children and how we are to love one another. So, Lord, lead us in this time of prayer this morning. I thank you that you've assembled us, and I just pray now that we would respond as you lead us in prayer, praying together in one accord, in Jesus' name.